B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
So, it will be... this will be the Patriots' first game in almost 20 years without Tom Brady. What pressure is on you? Is there pressure on you? And sort of what's your mindset as you take this team into a new era?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you want me to say there. I mean, I've been here going on a month and a half. And, I'm ready. I don't think it's pressure. No, it's not pressure. Just do your job. And I'm planning on doing mine. So I know opening day, he's not going to really be worried about little old me. And I know opening day, I just have other things to be focusing on rather than who was here before me. I just know I got to do right by my opportunity that I do get and make the most of it.
Ready? That's the question. That's going to be my lead-off take here on an agenda-free Friday. Maz and Murray alongside from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Fellas, how you doing?
Good, you?
Agenda-free really? Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Our car buying is always agenda-free. Choose some new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. The deal is you set the agenda with your wonderful phone calls. That's why it's called Agenda-Free Friday. While we are wiping down the call screener and populating the call screener, we will give opening takes. But as soon as we have it all wiped down, Jimmy will release the hounds at 617-779-0985. But first, opening takes, and I will start with that. Are you ready? Do you realize we're at the precipice of a pretty seismic weekend in Boston sports history? And that is Tom Brady is gone, obviously. And whether Cam Newton is the guy of the future or someone else, this is it. This is where the rest of your NFL life begins this weekend without Tom Brady. Do you think we fully appreciate it? Do you think we're fully ready for it? And this is sort of where that lack of the preseason, Murray, comes in as well. We have yet to see Cam Newton run onto the field in the Patriots uniform. And I think that had we, even in a couple of preseason environments, it would be a little dulled. It'll be a little lessened than I think just the pure impact of turning on the TV Sunday at 1 and there runs Cam Newton as the Patriots starting quarterback. Are you ready for that, Murray?
Yeah. It's more of a curiosity factor than anything else. I mean, in the past, it's been excitement because you pretty much know that the Patriots are going to fall out of bed and at worst be 12-4 and it's just, you know, who they're going to play in on championship weekend. Now, this time, for the first time since really the late 90s or 2000, like, who knows? What are we going to see? It's the curiosity factor for me is through the roof because, I mean, it's Cam Newton. It's not like we're talking about a scrub. It's a former MVP. And I'm curious to see how it's going to look with the dynamic between him and Belichick and what Josh McDaniels can do with him, especially with the lack of weapons that this team has too.
New beginning.
I mean, it is. And I am so ready for it. I find them more interesting now than I did last year because of the unknown. And now it's a challenge. And I'm just ready for a new storyline, a new chapter. I'm just ready for it. But then again, I wasn't born and raised here, and so I know you probably feel differently. Or do you? I don't know. I'm asking, are you ready? And I was just asking Maz on the way in. There is no comp for it around here. I mean, the closest you're going to get is... So I was asking Maz, the year Bird retired in 92. I was here, and I remember it. And I remember, you know, his corny-ass... Do you remember his corny-ass retirement press conference?
You mean the press conference or the thing at the Garden?
I'm not talking about the thing like with Magic or the thing at the Garden or anything like that. I'm talking about when they first announced it. I think there was a champagne toast at the press conference.
Sounds right.
At the Garden. It was just bleh.
Sounds right.
Bleh. But anyway, the next year. Do you remember the next year? And Maz and I were just trying to, we're looking it up now. But, I think McHale was still here. I think Parrish was still here. I think Reggie Lewis, you know, that was the team. It was 92, right?
Correct. Yep, and I did just look it up. Reggie Lewis was the leading scorer that year. And they won, I said to you, I think they won like 48 games maybe? 48 and 34 on the nose. They made the first round of the playoffs and lost.
To Cleveland?
So that I don't know. I'll check that. I just looked it up quickly.
Charlotte.
Oh, that was Alonzo Mourning.
Larry Johnson.
So I'm sorry, Cleveland was Bird's last series.
Yeah, Mark Price, that Cleveland team, Brad Daugherty, those guys.
So like I vaguely remember it, but I'm trying to tell you, and you do too, Boston. I mean, maybe you hardcores piece it together a little bit, but it doesn't roll off the tongue. This is going to roll off the tongue. You're going to remember this one. You're going to remember what Brady does in Tampa. You're going to remember what Cam Newton does here. You're going to remember tomorrow Cam Newton running out onto the field. You're going to remember this. Where the Bird thing, we kind of, sort of, and that's a, in our lifetime, that's the closest comp. I mean, does your grandfather remember Ted Williams' replacement in left field in 62? What year did he retire? Whatever. You know, I mean, you tell me. It's before my day.
60 was his last year. Yaz came in 61.
So that's it.
Yep. It was seamless.
So 60 to 61.
Yep.
So then when Yaz retired, okay, like, did they go right to Jim Rice?
Pretty much.
Yeah, so, but like, do you remember that? Do you remember? Well, that was 70, 80? What year was?
Yeah, Yaz, 83, I think, was Yaz's last year. By then, Rice was already around. So the transition from Yaz to Rice was, you know, they overlapped by a lot. I mean 7 or 8 years.
You old-timers can piece that stuff together, but I'm telling you, no one's going to have to search their memory for this. This is a big one. Are you ready? So that's my opening take. 617-779-0985. Are you looking forward to it or are you dreading it? Again, we asked this question yesterday. Are you more interested in watching Cam Newton with the Patriots at 1 or Tom Brady with the Buccaneers at 4? So that's just my leadoff take.
Brady.
Maz, what's yours?
No, let Murray go first.
All right, so I actually want to defend Maz with something because...
Thank you, Murray.
It's game 7 tonight between the Celtics and Raptors. And for the Celtics to win this game... something has to happen, and that's Jaylen Brown cannot shoot the ball 30 times like he did in the Game 6 loss. And there was a panicky, angry caller thought otherwise yesterday, called in yesterday yelling at Maz, then who do you want to take the shots? Like, he sounded very, very mad with you, Maz, and also really panicked, which I think is very telling because I think Celtics fans, by and large, are kind of panicked at the fact that this series has gone this far and you have a Game 7 tonight against a lesser opponent.
He called me stupid, Murray.
Yeah, so to back this up, why you don't want to have this happen, including Game 6, Jaylen Brown has attempted 20 or more shots in a game 12 times in his career. Again, got that? So including the other night, he's attempted 20 or more shots in a game 12 times in his career. His career high in attempts prior to the other night was 24. You want to know what the Celtics' record is in those games?
Do tell, Murray.
You are such a fraud, man.
6-6. And he's 3-6 when he took 21 or more attempts.
So when it's over 20, he's 3-6.
And in the playoffs, which is, of course, the most important of the games.
Oh, what's up, Murray?
The Celtics are 1-3.
Huh. Could you say that again? I missed that the first time.
When Jaylen Brown takes more than 20 attempts in the playoffs, the Celtics are 1-3.
Huh. Can you translate that into a winning percentage for me, Murray?
It sucks.
250.
Thank you. Don't make me do the math. I just know that it's not good. It blows. And as much as I like Jaylen Brown, and I think his offensive game has gone, it's been much better this season than it was last season. And I actually, for the most part, trust him. With the ball in his hands, especially in a crucial moment, but taking 30 shots, whether that's on him personally or I think it's partly to Brad Stevens is partly to blame as well. That can't happen tonight. He cannot shoot the ball as many times as he did in Game 6, and the numbers prove it, because otherwise they're going to lose.
He's just not that kind of player, okay? And again, he's a good player. I think Jaylen Brown's improved a lot. And making those free throws at the end of that game, I don't just gloss that over as easy free throws. Those were clutch, and that's a guy who was a 63-65% free throw shooter early in his career in the playoffs, nailed them. But I don't want him taking 30 shots a game.
You know, it felt wrong. So, you know, I wanted to look it up, and actually, I was like, you know, I'm usually not dig for the stats guy, but I went and dug for the stats. I wanted to back up my man Maz, and it's like, no, because that shouldn't happen. I like Jaylen Brown, but he can't be shooting the ball 30 times.
Nice. See,
yeah, Murray, as you know, Mike and I have a background in sports. I go on instinct. And, you know, it just didn't look right to me. It didn't feel right.
Maz, what's your opening take?
So, last night, watching the NFL opener, late in the first half, what we had was a 14-7 game in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs, a little over 2 minutes left. Houston Texans got the ball, drove down the field, stalled, kicked a field goal wide right. Kansas City got the ball back with what at the time was 25 seconds. 25 seconds for Kansas City. They get out, they get a field goal, they make it. They get the ball to start the second half, they score a touchdown. Now, just like that, 14-7 becomes 24-7, game over. Houston's running uphill the whole night, and it occurred to me, you know who used to do that to teams? The Patriots. Bill Belichick would win the coin toss, defer, And then because he had the greatest quarterback on the planet, they would engineer the first half to end in such a way where they would get consecutive possessions. They would score at the end of the second, at the beginning of the third, hit him with a left-right combo, two haymakers, and all of a sudden, game over, the opponent's done. How many times did we see that? And then it occurred to me, you can't coach it that way now. Can't do it that way. Coin toss? I don't know. Do you defer? Do you take the ball now? Do you get on and get points? Do you have to play differently? Do you have to play from ahead all the time? Because you've got to keep your offense in a position where they can't be chasing. So I want to see how Bill Belichick changes the coaching now with Brady gone. And I mean the in-game management. I'm talking about like deciding, do we defer? Do we double score it? Because I don't think you can do it that way anymore. And I just, to me, this is going to be a fascinating part of the whole thing. We always assumed this was Bill saying, no, I'll take the two consecutive possessions in the middle of the game. Easy to do when you have Brady. What about when you don't? You don't have receivers. So I'm fascinated by the whole thing. The on-field machinations of it, the decision-making, I want to see it all.
Okay, we're agenda-free. Everything's on the table. I'd say there are two prime topics, though. Newton and the Patriots, Tom Brady, and Celtics Game 7. But you can call in on whatever you want. That's the deal on a day like today. I promise phones in the first segment, and so I do it. Here's Dave in the car. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Happy Friday.
You too.
I'll get to them pretty quickly. So I think the last few years of Brady souring in the locker room are actually pretty connected to the Gilmore contract. And two specific examples. You see your leader kind of have a bad attitude, and then someone like Malcolm Butler sees, okay, well, if I have a sour attitude, Now I can do this. Now he's chirping about a contract. He's on the trade block. He ends with not playing in the Super Bowl and moving on to Tennessee. Gronkowski threatens to retire if he gets traded. He gets his way. Now that Brady's gone, Belichick re-ups or shores up Gilmore mid-contract. When's the last time that happened? I don't think that's a coincidence at all. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, it happens. It does happen. Not often, but it does. And they've done it in the past. You know, giving guys bumps when they haven't really needed to. They did it to Brady, you know, I mean, grudgingly and with incentives and, you know. But I think Brady's last year, they took away those incentives. They just gave him the bump.
Correct.
So it does happen. But I do think, Bill, there is some sort of quotient here of Bill playing nice now that Brady's gone and showing everybody, I'm not this big meanie. I don't know what Tom's talking. I don't know what Tommy's crying about, but we're fine here. I take care of my players. My players like me. They're happy to be here. And I think there is some sort of subtle thing like that going on, and maybe the Gilmore contract's a part of it. I think he was threatening a holdout. If I just had to guess, and I have no, you know, as usual, no inside information. I mean, I think Gilmore was, you know, I don't know. How's his hamstring today? Something tells me he's going to be fine. I don't know. I'm just curious. Yesterday, out of nowhere, he pops up with a hamstring. The next day, he gets a $5 million bump. During camp, he left for personal reasons, which Paul Perillo mentioned the other day. You know, they didn't say family reasons, which is different. They're personal reasons. Never really described it. He's been behind the scenes chirping about a contract now for a couple years. So I just think if they didn't pay him, he might not be playing. I'm just curious about that. It's just my gut.
It was smart to do, though. Don't mess around. They need this guy this year. They need this guy. And so when we did the thing with Greg Bedard the other day, which three players do you feel best about going into the season? I think I didn't have Gilmore number one because I was worried about the contract. Now maybe you get his head screwed on right. Now you get the full Gilmore. Smart.
I'm just curious how his hamstring is. Just let me know when that injury report comes out.
Miraculously recovered.
Here comes a word from our sponsors and then more of your phones. We're off and running on Agenda Free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Say it.
Oh, I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's the friendship test.
One of my favorites.
Oh, man, I think I know you to a T, but
I know you pretty well. I think this should be a piece of cake.
Me too. Here we go.
What is Gronk's favorite thing to wear?
So easy. Oh, God. I'm going to put a couple things just so you know.
Yeah, just put a couple.
All right.
I don't know if you can get this one wrong. All right. Shorts and t-shirt. Shorts and tank tops. That's a correct answer, Tom.
That is a correct answer,
you
Robbie.
You just know me so well. It's Robbie, like you come to work with me every day.
It's like I see you and I've known you for like 10 years. One for one.
That's why we're in Florida now, Tom, because I love shorts and t-shirts.
Meanwhile. Whee! Whee! I get to wear my tank top all the time. Whee! Nipple shots, whee! Oh, my God. If you're watching on the simulcast, NBC Sports Boston, you saw the visual, but Tommy Talk, what's the thing called? It feels like it's going to be a weekly feature.
Who the hell knows?
Tommy and Gronky.
Tommy and Gronky.
Yeah. You've got to be kidding.
I think so. I don't know.
A weekly feature?
I don't know.
And is it going to be set up like the Newlywed Game?
Listen. I don't know exactly. That's just another guess. Because it felt like, I don't know, it felt like they had an intro for it, and it's like a show.
Professional questionnaire.
And the first week's episode was the friendship test, where they did that nonsense. And it's like, if you're just listening, there's a little wading pool in front of them with duckies.
A kiddie pool.
And they're dipping their toes in the kiddie pool, and it's, you know, 90 degrees underneath the palm trees, and the pirate booty ship, whatever, sort of in the background. And they're just, we're in Florida. We get to wear t-shirts. Wee! Meanwhile, that's what's going on down in Tampa. I mean, again, I just think Brady's decision, I look at it, I go, on one hand, I think he's going to have a ballsy year because he's put so much into it. But when you go to Florida to work, you've got one foot in the grave. It's the heaven's waiting room. I mean, that's what they call it. It's like, and that news that came out yesterday that the Bears were in on him and he could have gone to the Bears. Like, I just feel if his first priority were winning and football, he would have stayed here or even Chicago. But is he just wants to take it easy and wear flip-flops and grab ass with Gronk with his feet in the kiddie pool and his wife's going to be happier because it's warm? Like, the people who move places just because it's warm, like, I'm sorry.
It's a retirement move.
It's like...
No, to people who move to places because it's warm, that's a retirement move.
That's why those places suck. That's why you don't want to live there, because the people are there just because it's warm and they get to wear an alligator on their boob 12 months a year. But that's why they suck, because there's nothing else going on. People are just there because it's warm and you get to laugh at the people back up north. That's why Florida's a great place to visit. You visit there, in and out, boom, boom, back and forth. Like, that's what it's there for. When you go there to live... You're done.
Yes. Yes. No, no. See, what I think this is about, this whole thing, it's time for me to have some me time. I got to have some me time. It's Tommy time. I got to have some Tommy time. This is about Tommy. Tommy wants to throw the football and pass for touchdowns and would put his feet in the pool with Gronky.
No, Chicago would be about football, trying to win games however means necessary. Wouldn't be the aerial show. You'd be playing in bad weather in some crappy places. Your wife would have to suck it up for a couple of years, deal with some bad winners, and it'd be just about football. It wouldn't be about any of this other grab-ass nonsense. But nope, now it's a wee! Oh, you know, Tommy, I like to wear tank tops and shorts. Woohoo!
I mean, this thing was cheesy as hell, but for the rest of it, outside of the history of the Buccaneers and that they're a low-rent franchise, I don't blame them. Get the hell out of here. Go somewhere warm. You got your money.
Tommy doesn't like the cold. Tommy wants to throw football with Gronk in the warm weather. Tommy wants to play.
He should have went to L.A.
Okay.
Or the San Francisco 49ers shouldn't have been cowards and backed out.
Well, that, yeah.
So that... How about that? All right, back to your phones. Here's Jake and
Tank tops and nipple shots.
Jake and Bill Rucker. Go ahead, Jake.
How are we doing, boys? I just want to talk about Jaylen Brown. And you guys, I got a stat for you guys. You know, every time he takes a number two at 1:30 on game day, the Celtics are undefeated.
So what's your point?
Oh, shut up, Jake. Come on. You're telling me 30 shots is a good thing? There's only a few guys in basketball.
I see. He's dumping on your stat.
Yeah, he's dumping on Murray's stat. Murray's stat.
It was yours that you deferred to make sure that it got in that first
segment. They're real NBA stats that you can suck on or choke on either way. They're real.
I'm just telling you, look, if you told me Jason Tatum took 30 shots, I would say too many, but at least Jason Tatum's a scorer. Jason Tatum gets you 50 someday, maybe not quite yet, but he's that kind of player. I'd even say Kemba Walker. I'm okay with 30. Because Kemba Walker, at his core, is a pure scorer. He can score. I wouldn't call him a sniper, but he can score. Jaylen Brown's not that kind of guy. He shouldn't be taking 30 shots. That's on the coach, by the way, not the player.
Here's our buddy Harry in Swansea on Agenda Free Friday on the Pats. Hi, Harry.
How you guys doing?
Good, man.
The reason Belichick, I'm saying, is leaving out of here is because, let's face reality, he wants to prove that he can win without Brady, and he wants to break Shula's record. And so he's not going to do that in Foxborough. He's probably going to get a nice, you know, little place someplace. I don't know where, Chicago. Go someplace where he thinks he can win. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't think he's going to stick around here and rebuild when he wants to. He has two goals, break Shula's record and prove he can win without Tommy Boy.
So you think he's done after this year, Harry? You believe Jimmy Shapiro, those odds?
I believe that's why the odds are the way they are, because he wants to win, and he's not going to win here. Can I mention one thing about the Celtics?
Quickly.
I agree with Maz about Jaylen Brown. I mean, I just, and Tatum. I just don't think Tatum is coming to bat down the clutch. He's no Larry Bird, that's for sure.
Well, let's see. He's only 22, so let's, you know, give him a little bit of time. You can say he's not Larry Bird yet, and if he's not, if they don't win, if the Celtics don't win tonight, it's because Tatum wasn't the best player on the floor. I mean, I think it'll be because Lowry carried the Raptors. I mean, I think. And I think you'll be able to look and say Tatum's just not ready yet. The first thing about Belichick, I mean, he can't win here. He doesn't like the talent. Well, I mean, like, he can control that now. Mm-hmm. He can build the team the way he wants. If he goes somewhere else, he's going to be inheriting someone else's mess, and maybe he has to, you know, tear it down first a little bit anyway. So, I mean, I don't know about that. I don't know where Shapiro got those odds. They surprised me. I think Bill likes being here, the proximity to Nantucket, his kids work for him, the whole thing. He's dialed in here still. I'd be stunned if he left.
So the only thing I wonder about, shockingly, is the quarterback situation. If Bill looks at the whole thing and says, I told you we should have kept Jimmy. Like, no, I told you.
228 of the first hour, Murray didn't take long.
I told you shockingly. Okay, shockingly. I tried to give you a little hint of where I was going with that. But what if he was genuinely agitated about the whole Garoppolo thing and now looks at Kraft, and Kraft has said to him, okay, you were right. You were right. And Bill says, you know, I'm not going to leave you with garbage. I'll help you build it. I'll give you a couple of drafts. But I drafted the quarterback. You didn't want him. At the end of the year, I'm done.
Bill in Framingham on last night's NFL opener. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. You know, Deshaun Watson is a great quarterback, but he looked average last night because he's got nobody to play with, nobody to throw to. And that's what Cam Newton's up against. No matter how good he looks in practice, how in shape he is, he's going to get out there, and they're going to lose because he's got a bunch of losers around him. That's what I think.
Okay, Bill, you might be right. I don't know. I think the Texans' problems go beyond Deshaun. Why, that's what the caller's point anyway.
Bad coach, bad offensive line, and the coach is an idiot for trading away DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, that's criminal that DeAndre Hopkins is no longer on that team.
You know, even when DeAndre Hopkins was there, and I watched the Texans, it's only because I have to. Like, I never just willingly watch the Texans. But whenever I do, I just feel average. You're just an average team. You always have been. Even before O'Brien got there, even before Deshaun, I see no discernible difference from the Matt Schaub. Is it Gary Kubiak? Who is their coach?
Yeah, Kubiak.
You know, Kubiak, Schaub, that team and this team. I see no discernible difference.
They're a little better now. A little bit better, but not a lot.
It's the same, you know, boring team that's in my face that I don't want to watch.
So to me, where I noticed the absence of Hopkins last night was on third down. I just think that Deshaun Watson was locked into that guy on third down. And with good reason. I mean, he had a great little, you know, great rapport with him. I say little rapport. But, you know, Hopkins could run these slants. On third down, Watson would fire it in there and they'd pick it up. Now, I don't know if they can do that now.
Okay, more on last night, okay? And apparently the people of Kansas City are against shows of unity.
They
don't like unified people. They wanted. Wow. They are looking for something else there. But you get thoughts on the game, the broadcast, and anything else, because it's agenda free right to you after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass. It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Kansas City Chiefs win the last game of the first century of the National Football League, winning Super Bowl 54. They win the first game of the second century of the National Football League with this opening victory, 34-20 over the Houston Texans.
So what did you guys think of last night? The whole thing.
I was pleasantly surprised at how clean the game was. Chiefs had one penalty. I thought offensively they looked like they were in sync. I mean, for no preseason, no OTAs, all that crap. I thought, you know, the quality of the play was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't that excited after a little while. I mean, it's like, yay, football's back. But I don't know, like you, Mike, I think Houston's terrible to watch. My biggest takeaway is I don't know why Deshaun Watson felt the need to sign that contract. Did he panic because it's the pandemic and you got to get that money? Like, why not play out another year on that team with that moron coach or try to force a trade? Like, there was rumors that they were maybe looking to move him. You know, there's been speculation maybe the Patriots would go after him. Like, and maybe that's what I got wrapped up into, because I'd love to see him in a Patriots uniform. I really like Watson, but he's going to waste his career in Houston. I hate that. I hate that he signed that deal there.
He's like, a waste. I mean, they waste him. I don't know. Such a dynamic player. And I just don't feel like, I don't know, do they not turn him loose? Do they not?
There's O'Brien's an idiot. He shouldn't be the head coach. He should have lost the job in the offseason. I can't believe he's still there.
The Houston should have gone in saying, the only way we're going to win this game is to put up 40. So go. Hurry up. You know, instead they're handing the ball off to the guy they traded. Are they trying to prove a point that they traded Hopkins for the right guy?
Probably.
Or yeah. It's like, what are you trying to do?
I don't know.
Remember that when they played them in the playoffs last year, they were up 24-7 and went for it on fourth down on their own 31-yard line.
That's sort of getting it.
Right. Now, all of a sudden, it's like hand off and let's control the clock.
So I was not into last night, but it had nothing to do with no one in the stands or the quality of play. The Texans just,
me either. I thought, you know, it sounded right. It looked right. None of that really bothered me.
It was all fine.
The Texans are tough to watch. I'll tell you, it makes me feel like you don't need the preseason. I don't think there was that much of a drop-off. I was pleasantly surprised that the refs didn't really control the game. I thought that was going to be a mess, because you usually see that in the preseason. And just as a side note, even though you hate running backs, I loved that little water bug guy that Kansas City got, their first-round pick, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That kid was fun to watch. And it makes me excited to see what the Patriots might be able to do with J.J. Taylor, the undrafted rookie, who's kind of he's the smallest running back like in history.
I think you're missing it, though, on that. I mean,
it has to do with their offense. Well, is dynamic.
I like watching him too. But I mean, if you play the Kansas City Chiefs, where your safety's playing
way back.
Oh my God! So you're not.
But with a guy that size and with those moves and quickness, like, you know,
Murray, I think it's all about you have to play the pass against Kansas City. And so yeah, like good. I mean, I like those little guys too, Darren Sproles, Woodhead. Like, I love those guys. I think there's good value in those players. I'm not drafting them in the first round, you know, but I think that that rookie running back is going to go off, and people are going to be pants off for the rookie running back. But I'm sorry.
Kareem Hunt went off in that offense.
And the guy last year, the nobody from Miami went off last
Damian
year.
Damian Williams.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who you put there. The safeties are playing on the lighthouse. Everyone's getting back for Tyreek Hill and playing the pass. And so you run draw plays to this little kid. He's going to tear it up, but it's not about the kid. I mean, and he looks good. I'm not telling you that he doesn't, Murray. But it's like, I mean, everyone's going to be pants off for the running back, but it's all about Mahomes in that passing game and how you have to play them. So come on.
I mean, what struck me about Kansas City last night is what always strikes me about Kansas City. They can fly.
Oh, my God.
So that's where I think he's a great fit. Oh, he's fast.
Well, and just in terms
he's fast and he can catch it.
In terms of their offense, and it was had to do with your opening take, when there was 26 seconds left before the half, did anyone think they weren't going to score?
No, it's like they are fast. They are so, like, even Tyreek Hill in that little play that, you know, was a first down play, I think, in the first quarter. He caught just this little pass. He gets to top speed in a step and a half. It is ridiculous that they are so freaking fast, you forget.
Okay, meanwhile, the whole social justice situation and the demonstration situation, I guess this should stop surprising me, you know, and I know a lot of people disagree with that side of things and have a lot of problems with the Black Lives Matter movement and understand that, like, so I understand there's, we're very polarized and there's people who feel strongly against those folks in that movement. Like, I get that part. What I guess I don't get, but I should, is that you just can't let it go for a couple minutes. It's like, it didn't really interrupt the game. And the broadcast went back to it a few times, but it's like, if you just tuned in for the kickoff, you're just tuning in for the kickoff. And if you are watching the pregame, the stuff took a couple of minutes. It really didn't get in your way. It's a nonviolent, peaceful, relatively quick sort of thing. But yet, the folks out in Missouri there are all bent out of shape. The first little whiff of it was, so they did the anthems, and they're singing the Black Lives Matter anthem, or, you know, that other song, and Houston decided to stay in the locker room for all of it. So instead of taking knees or disrespecting the flag, they just decided to stay in the locker room. And so then after the anthems, they ran out, and they got their ass booed. I'm like, okay, well, maybe they're just booing the opponent. It's like, you know, the refs skate onto the ice, you boo the refs.
Right.
The opponents run onto the field, you boo the opponent. Boo! You're the enemy. Boo!
Yeah, you suck.
But then they just simply locked arms at midfield, the two teams. They didn't say anything. They didn't take a knee or anything. There's just like, we have a moment of unity. They're doing this in all sports. And so the teams locked arms, and this is what it sounded like at Arrowhead.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join us in a moment of silence dedicated to the ongoing fight for equality in our country. Thank you.
Thanks for booing our asses off the field. They booed the unity thing.
Oh, yeah, no. And then once the game started, did you catch what happened?
Immediate tomahawk chop.
Oh.
Like, so they banned the headdresses and any sort of Native American Indian imagery. They don't want that, you know. They're going to stay the Chiefs, but they're going to sort of eliminate the tie to Native American imagery. So they asked no headdresses, no Indian stuff, but immediately, after they boo the players at the show of unity, all the fans start going,
Did Missouri not get the memo? Like, what, somebody leave them off the blast email? What happened there?
It's like, can anyone just let it go for a couple of minutes?
Tomahawk chop thing blew me away. The tomahawk chop. I was like, because, again, how many teams with Native American nicknames did you say, well, we're going to ban the tomahawk chop? That's out. Atlanta Braves. And, you know, that's out. Nope, not in Kansas City. No,
what they've always done. What, you now expect people to comply? Like, really? It sucked, but what do you expect? If you expect anything good to come out of humanity in 2020 and beyond, like, that's on you. Like,
it is on me. It is.
How about just a little bit of awareness?
No one's going to tell me what to do.
Wow.
I ain't going to wear no mask. I'm going to do my Indian chop if I want to do my Indian chop.
It's like, good God, guy.
Unbelievable.
Like, just let it go. Are you there to watch football? Or are you just, like, there to get all angry about whatever?
The game hadn't even started, and they started chanting.
No one's going to tell me what to do.
I was like, wow, talk about being in a complete bubble. You're like, in a vacuum.
You're going to stand for unity? Boo! You suck! Good Lord. Seriously.
Yeah, we don't believe in unity.
So anyway, long commercial free segment is next with your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you love sports, obviously Game 7 is the ultimate. It's as good as it gets. But when you are living and dying with every possession, do you allow yourself the chance to enjoy just being part of it for even a second tomorrow night? Like, how do you sort of compartmentalize, okay, this is the job and it's the game for our season versus, wow, this is really cool too. I mean, how much
No, I think you do. I think you know, certainly this is kind of why you coach. I'm not saying for a game seven in general, you know, but I'm just saying, you know, the super competitive playoffs, a lot on the line. You know, it's kind of the crazy love of a coach, right? To want to be in the middle of that and putting yourself through that. But that is the kind of love of coaching and love of competition. So yeah, there's some enjoyment. I mean, I think I said it last year, maybe even to you, that when we had to get on the plane and go back to Golden State for game six last year, after almost having game five wrapped up, I was like, man, I'm having fun. It's fun coaching in the NBA final. Let's go. And, you know, I wasn't tired of being there. That's for sure. It was an enjoyable process, and just got to go compete again.
Nick Nurse, Raptors head coach. Not a huge statement. I just wanted to give you a little taste of him before you get tonight's game. Don't let that guy beat you. Don't lose to this team and that guy. So the Celtics, one of the things on the board today, along with all the football here on Agenda Free Friday. John in Braintree on the Celts. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So I just wanted to ask your opinion on this. In the second overtime of game six, Kemba and Kyle Lowry were one-on-one for like three plays in a row, and Lowry just backed up and put it in easy two. I was wondering what your thoughts on that, like if that was a coaching mistake or
yes,
what.
Somehow, some way, and you know, I need a hoopologist here to come in and tell me how you get out of that matchup, because if you start with Smart on Lowry, as you should, they'll switch it with Van, you know, they'll run a pick and roll with Van Fleet and, you know, get it switched. So what you have to do is, you know, pass it off. But then I'm sure Toronto can do something. And if you're passing off instead of switching, then you're going to be in a bad, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. Some hoopologist there. It's got to tell me how you can make sure that with the shot clock winding down and the Toronto Raptors needing a basket, that it's not Kemba Walker on Lowry, it's Marcus Smart on Lowry. There's got to be a way.
Yeah, it's a great question, because, again, Van Vliet's a better matchup for Walker.
I mean, what you can do is just send a double team, just blitz him, just send someone else at him, get the ball out of his hands, and now you're doing what Nurse sort of did in the other game, which is, okay, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us with Siakam shooting it or, you know, someone else shooting it. And it's not going to be a lot. We're not going to let Lowry take that shot. There's a million ways to do that.
Yeah, it feels to me like the Raptors are going to hunt Walker no matter what. So ideally, you'd rather that be Van Vliet, who feels like, you know, he doesn't have a post-up game. I mean, you get Walker on someone's hip, I don't care who the guy is, he's in trouble.
Van Fleet, I feel, too, will settle on a bad shot. I mean, how many, like, 35, and I'm, you know, that number may be a little deep, but he takes some deep-ass threes.
He does.
That are just sort of, I don't know, I feel like Lowry's usually getting a good shot.
Yeah, Lowry's a good player. You know, he's a, so, and I think it's a bad matchup for Walker because of the strength factor. I just think that Lowry's just so damn strong. And Van Fleet, again, doesn't have, you know, he can go to the basket, he can shoot out there, but he's not going to be a guy who posts him up. And that play looked unstoppable.
John in Connecticut on the Patriots. Hi, John.
Hi. So, first of all, I don't see how the Bears are better than the Buccaneers. I mean, they're just as big a dumpster fire as they are. But the reason why I called is I do agree with Maz regarding the coaching strategy, but I think we saw that change last year from where they, you know, when they were winning the coin flip, they weren't saying, no, we'll kick off. They were actually kind of taking the ball right off the bat, because I think they knew that their offense was struggling the whole time. So I don't think that's going to be anything new on that end. I think they started making that transition last year.
In terms of going for the double score, I'm always doing that.
Yeah.
I'm always, it's
no matter who the quarterback is.
No matter who. No, it's the NFL. You know, you should. I want to control the situation. So even if my offense isn't prolific, I want to have the ball last at the end of the second quarter, and I want to have the ball to start the second half. And whatever I can do, at least I'm keeping the other team off the field if that's the way I'm playing, or whatever the case may be. I'm always deferring. Always, always, always.
Okay, so again, you had Brady. Part of it, though, affects the beginning of the game, too, right? So that, you know, you say, well, we'll give the ball to the other team to start the game, because if we get behind, we can come down and score. Can they do it that way now? And look, the caller's right.
I still treat it that way.
This is, you know, Bill has been making this switch. It's not like, you know, how many times have we seen the last couple of years? They'd get to the end of the half and Bill wouldn't cut it.
A couple times.
Yeah, he wouldn't cut him loose. So the caller's right about that. I just, you know, Bill coaching without Tom is a totally different challenge.
Well, let's see. Let's see how it looks. Lewis in Providence with a Red Sox thought here on Agenda Free Friday. Go, Lewis.
Hey, Maz, I got a question for you, man. When Bloom finally starts his rebuild, can we see him do like he did in Tampa where he could put 8 or 9 young guys out there and let them develop, or are we still going to have veterans running around?
I hope it's the second thing. I was saying this last night. Do you really want to be the Tampa Bay Rays?
No.
Do you want to be a 92-win team that loses in the playoffs and has no superstars?
Oh, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about 5 years of sucking to get high draft picks. I know the Rays haven't done that quite like some other teams, but I don't want to be that, no.
No, and I would say, but let's say it's even, you know, they're anonymous. Like, can that work here? I don't think it can.
Well, wouldn't we turn them into stars? Wouldn't we turn Kiermaier into a star? Wouldn't we turn, who's the a-hole pitcher with
Snell?
Yeah, Snell.
Snell might be. Kiermaier, I don't know.
You don't think Longoria would have been a star here?
Longoria is a little different, though. He was a high pick, too, right? I think. So some of those guys are high picks, like super talents. They don't last in Tampa. But, like, the Rays now are just kind of a bunch of guys, aren't they? Doesn't it feel that way?
We turn them into the lovable no-names, the idiots, the whatever. We come up with a nickname.
Elevated hacks here, like Trot Nixon.
No, but I mean, if they won, we'd celebrate their lunch pail. I think the lunch pail AC, whatever. We'd come up with something.
Okay, is that going to be good enough to keep you interested?
If they win, I mean.
Or do you need Pedro? And do you need Manny? And do you need Schilling?
This is a bigger question, Mass. I don't care if the most interesting ball players in the history of the sport were on this team. If they're 4-hour games with 45 seconds between pitches and everything's a walk, strikeout, or home run, we're not watching any of these guys.
Okay, right. But that's a secondary issue. I'm just talking about that's a global issue.
Thank you.
For the game.
That's what I mean.
But I'm talking about.
No, I don't think this team needs stars. I don't.
Oh, I do.
They had a star and it didn't move the needle.
Who?
Mookie.
Yeah, but now take Mookie out.
Well, they suck. Well,
they suck. No. I don't mean it that way. I mean, obviously, they suck. I'm saying that the 2018 Red Sox were fun to watch, weren't they?
I don't think baseball stars work or matter anymore.
I agree. Then the game doesn't have any stars. The sport's dead. There might be 10 players that non-hardcore fans can
name.
No one cares. But
the biggest stars in the game, I'll name them. You know, people don't know who they are, and they wouldn't turn the TV on to watch Mike Trout if you paid him $1 million. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's a boring guy. It's a boring sport.
We're talking about different things. I don't dispute any of that. I'm just saying,
I don't think stars matter in baseball.
If the Red Sox are a 92-win team with a bunch of B players, does that make them interesting? And my answer is no.
But stars don't make them interesting either.
Oh, I think it does a little bit. I think it does. I mean, again, I'm not disputing any of the stuff you're saying. The quality of the product sucks and the team stinks. Game over. The rest of it doesn't matter. But if we were in Tampa right now and they were this kind of team, would we care?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we would.
Less so.
I mean, last year they had a really polarizing high Q rating pitcher in David Price, and they had an MVP superstar. And you know it. You're on the front lines. No one really cared. They had stars. To me, no. If they win, we'd turn them into, those who cared would turn them into something interesting. I think. We've got about David in Florida on the Celtics tonight. Go ahead, David.
Hey, guys. I don't think you guys have touched on it yet, but two words, Scott Foster.
So do you think so Scott Foster was Tim Donaghy's buddy, I think totally filthy. I think he gambled and was in cahoots with Donaghy, and David Stern just wanted to make it a lone ref and a renegade ref and didn't want to, say that he had a refereeing problem, so he let Scott Foster off the hook. But Scott Foster was Donaghy's guy, and they shared a – we've done this topic for like 10 years, so you should know the background of Scott Foster. Dirty. So let's say Scott Foster's dirty, and he's someone the league uses to fix games. Does that worry you as a Celtics fan tonight, or should it embolden you?
Embolden.
It should embolden you. It should embolden you. If Scott Foster's there to fix something, he's fixing it for you. The Raptors do the league very little good. Talk about little star power. Now, that's a sport that needs stars. And – it's a Canadian market. The U.S. TV networks don't get credit. The U.S. TV markets don't beam in to Canada. So your domestic broadcast partners get no benefit from the Raptors being in the finals. It's like a loss. So Toronto hurts business. So if Scott Foster's there to fix anything, he's there to fix it for you. So I don't know. You should feel emboldened. But isn't it amazing that this guy's still running around the league?
Oh, my gosh, incredible.
He still refs big games.
Yeah, incredible. Look, and there's no question the league would rather have the Celtics in it. I mean, absolutely. Like, you have the just the sheer star power of and the history of the franchise over Toronto? What were the Raptors before last year? They were one of the great choke franchises in the history of the league.
They're freaking named after dinosaurs.
Oh, God, please.
Why are they named after dinosaurs?
I don't know. I don't know the connection.
Yahoo team. It's a Yahoo team.
They find like dinosaur remains up there or something?
I think they might have. There might be a tar pit up there or something. Like, I don't know. That's a kind of a stretch. Dinosaurs were everywhere, I thought. But whatever. That's a Mickey Mouse team name. They've turned into like a gutty winning sort of program there. They have.
I'm just guessing. I think it had to do when they came into the league, it was based on the popularity of the movie Jurassic Park. That had something to do with it.
I mean, so
you've got to be kidding.
You know, no, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's like the Vancouver Grizzlies.
The Mighty Ducks. Well, what do the Grizzlies have to do with anything?
So it's like an animal theme. The Ducks, the Grizzlies, the Raptors.
What?
Huh?
I don't know. There wasn't a movie about Grizzlies, though, was there?
What are you talking about, Jimmy?
So it's like Toronto were created when Jaws came out, they'd be the Sharks?
Yes. Yes, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying it's a corny, stupid name. It's a corny, stupid team.
Your team's named after a deer.
It's a real animal. It's not a prehistoric lizard.
And they're indigenous to the region.
Exactly.
I thought it had to do with a dollar.
So what? Why did we get on this? Oh, the league doesn't want the Raptors. The league doesn't need the stupid Raptors.
Yeah, because all people in Milwaukee are cheap. They won't give you a buck.
The league. So if anyone's fixing anything, it's for you. Celtics, Lakers, Celtics, Los Angeles. That's what helps the league. Toronto, Los Angeles doesn't help the league. So Foster's there to fix it for you. Long commercial-free segment continues after Big Jim Murray's update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.